Company in Sportsville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Sportsville, California, and Condiment Ali of ContimentAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Lukianos of Lukianos.com in Baltimore, Maryland. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work, as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and then called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-host, Ms. Kat and Conjurman Ali. Ms. Kat?
Hi, Miss Tammy Lee. So nice to hear your voice.
Thank you, and you as well.
Well, I just made it in. I was just saying goodbye to some friends in the shop, but I got here as the music was playing. Well, folks, I just came back from Santa Cruz, and I had a wonderful time down there at the ConjureCon. I want to give a little shout out to Cindy. Toto, Miss Cindy, Auntie Cindy, and Susan Diamond of Serpent's Kiss, and Mama Star, and Orion Foxwood. They put on a great program. I taught a bone reading class. We had a lot of fun. Mama Star taught how to wrap and make packets and make little things, and how to basically shut a spell up inside of something. And Cindy and Susan taught a wonderful lodestone workshop, and Orion gave his own interpretation of how to make a mojo, very unique to him and his Shenandoah Valley practices. And we just had a great time. They're still hard at work, having more workshops today, but we had to come home to do the radio show.
They're at the beach.
They're down at the beach. That's right. They're doing fabulous stuff. And also a big shout out to Shimmering Wolf, who is Susan Diamond's partner and one of the organizers, and to Dee Dee, the gal who runs their shop. We had a wonderful time, and everything was just. We saw a lot of old friends, a lot of old students of mine were there, and a lot of colleagues and people that we know. Some of whom show up here at this radio show sometime, but they won't be here today because they're out at the beach with the ConjureCon. So that was a delight. Anyway, so Ali, how have you been?
Oh, I've been wonderful. I'm happy to hear that ConjureCon went so well and you got a chance to teach your bone reading class again. I remember taking the bone reading class at the Lucky Mojo workshops that are the missionary independent hoodoo workshops that are put on every year. And it was a great workshop, so filled with such amazing information. And I've been pouring through that book, and I've probably read it like about 10 times already.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's a great book for anyone who hasn't picked it up yet.
I got some good compliments on it. Oh, and that's someone else I saw, and he probably won't be here on the chat like he usually is, this Papa Newt. Papa Newt was there for the ConjureCon, and we got to hang out together and absorb each other's fabulous vibrations, and that was just a lot of fun. And he's just one of our very, very, very best friends, Papa
Newt. Wonderful.
We love him to pieces. So that was great. And, we just had a good time with everybody, and there was a lot of people there. I mean, I'm not going to name all the names because I'll forget somebody, but I will say Papa Newt was great. So now we have a guest this week, and I just am so happy to have you back again, Lukianos. So hello and welcome back.
Welcome.
You're too kind. Thank you, Conjure Manali. I always love working with you all, and today is no exception.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad to hear that your bone reading book has been well received. I mean, I'm still working through it myself, and it is a real resource for both, you know, the novice and the experienced reader out there. I think just about everyone will find something to add to their practice.
Yeah, well, Lukianos, you're one of the people who that book couldn't have been possible without, because I interviewed you right here on this very radio show.
That is true.
About Obi, and you gave me some wonderful pointers and ideas, and so yeah, that book is, you know, you're one of the people responsible. You're one of the people in the acknowledgments, and I really appreciate that.
It's chock full of stars.
Yeah, that book really, well, truly, many people in the air helped me build that book, because Dr. E was another contributor, and Brother Jeffrey Vanderson was another contributor, and and the man who was visiting here today in the shop, Larry Balkin, who is a reader from Virginia, he reads Chicken Bones, and he came here to visit today with his pretty little daughter Katie. And so, yeah, so that was it. So we're having a little, you know, bone book, you know, get-together this weekend. Yeah, it was nice to see Larry. Really, really nice to see him. We talked over old times and old people and old friends. And he's a member of the Crystal Silence League as well, and an admirer of Mr. Alexander, who is the founder of the Crystal Silence League. So we had a good time talking. All right. Well, Lukianos, tell me what's new with you. What have you been doing since the last time we talked?
Well, Miss Kat, I've been doing a bunch of things. Summer is typically a time where I sort of step back and take stock, and I've started updating my website, so it's not done yet, but you'll notice that there is yet another report on the Spiritual Suppliers of Baltimore, past and present.
Oh, wonderful.
And there will be more to come in the weeks ahead. And I am also making some time to get a little bit of nature time as well next couple of weeks. Because, I've literally been in the city nonstop for a little too long at this point. So I'm going to try to get out back to nature and actually see some trees and rivers and all that kind of thing. But I've been doing a lot of readings, and I've been working with material in your bone reading book as well. And, you know, it just keeps going. It's remarkable.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting topic, and if I may just digress on that a moment, nature.
Digress away.
And, let's talk about that for a moment. You know, conjure work, root work, hoodoo, it comes in all different flavors. People live in all different
environments.
Absolutely. And there are people to whom hoodoo to them means a glass encased candle. And that's all. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they might put a little bit of oil on that candle. And if they're lucky, that oil might have been made with natural vegetable oils, and it might have had natural essential oils of plants in it. But if they didn't think too hard, they might end up putting a mineral oil on that candle, and it might just be scented with some synthetic fragrance. So
no nature
at all, right? But their prayers are sincere. They've put their prayer in it, and, you know, God does answer prayer, but they've crippled themselves by not working with the spirits of plants. They've not worked with the spirit of the land. They've not worked even with the spirits of their ancestors or with the earth in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the other extreme, there are these people who come out of, we might say a neo-pagan tradition, which it places a great emphasis on nature magic. So they do everything according to the cycles of the moon, and they cut every plant with a silver scythe or whatever to make it just perfect and just right. And they would never use an old petroleum wax candle. It has to be pure beeswax from the bees that were raised organically. And they're doing something too, but they sometimes lose sight of sheer need and power. And they sometimes lose sight of, of God, you know, they have their own little way of working, that may or may not include supplication. And it also may or may not include the use of power. Because some of them will say things like, oh, I don't even want to do a spell to make the boy love me, because that would be going against his will. So on one hand, we have this one, and the other, the other. Now, when root work started, when root work was new, and it was a synthesis and a melding and a joining and a big tossed salad made of African and English, Scottish, Irish, Welsh, German, Native American, Jewish, you name it, but mostly African basis. At that time, it was pretty well balanced between all of these different forces. But now we have almost different schools of hoodoo. So you're there in Baltimore, and you're there, one of the places where there are old school, real old school shops. But as the years have gone by, those shops don't carry all the herbs anymore, do they?
And so, some of them carry more than others do. So the oldest of the candle shops here in Baltimore, they carry an amazing assortment of herbs. And if you don't see what you're looking for out on the shelf, you ask at the counter, and they might surprise you with what they actually have back there. And I'll also note that, you know, some of the older generation, these are folks where even if they were living in the city, they might know how to grow things in containers in their backyard if they had a little bit of land back there. They might know where the trees that they needed were growing. I know where the sweet gum trees in my neighborhood are. I know where the linden trees are. I know where, you know, it's not to say that I have access to everything that I might like all the time, but if you know what the things look like, you keep your eye out for them, and if you see them in your environment, you make a note of where they are, because you might need them there. And that's the thing. Even in a city like Baltimore, which, I mean, it's not quite a rust belt, but, yeah, it doesn't have a whole lot of green space compared to some places. So the little bit of green space that is here, and even in sort of the nooks and crannies, I mean, you'll find burdock, you know, growing out of the ground. Of course you will.
Mm-hmm.
Burdock grows everywhere. You'll find dandelions growing out of the ground. Of course, they grow everywhere. But you have to know what you're looking for. So some of the things, like the deep forest herbs, well, yeah, you're probably not going to find them, you know, growing in the local park. That's true. But you would be surprised at what you do find growing around here. But in order to make use of that, you have to know what you're looking for. And in some cases, that means hooking up with someone who does know the plants, who can show you what they look like, both, you know, when they're in full bloom, and later on when they don't have flowers on them, but they do have the leaves out and present.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you learn over time. I've lived in different parts of the East Coast, and each part of the East Coast has a different set of plants associated with it. And quite honestly, I still don't have the level of botanical knowledge about the place where I live right now that I do about the part of the East Coast where I grew up. But every year, I learn a little bit more. And if you are lucky enough to, you know, find people locally who, you know, have lived in the area, who know the plants, they are a resource. It doesn't matter what their spiritual or religious background is, they are a resource, because just knowing those plants, that is a really, I think, a crucial part of, you know, the toolkit of, you know, of a old-time hoodoo practitioner. Because, you know, if you don't have access to the botanical allies that are right around you, I mean, it's almost like you're working with one hand tied behind your back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
You know, that brings up something what you were saying. When I was young, I lived in the city much more. I mean, I live out in the country now. But when I was young and in the city, I knew where every red rose bush was and when they would bloom. I even knew, in addition to knowing where the herbs were that I wanted to work with magically, I knew where the ornamental plums were and where I could, gather ornamental plums and then buy a 5-pound sack of sugar and some pectin and make jam.
Absolutely.
You know, and there are people who, you know, and I knew where the blackberries were growing because they hadn't killed them out, you know. But those things I recommend to people, but yet still I see, and it's not just about, oh, this young generation, they don't know no better, because when I was young, there were still people who knew no better. It's always been like that. But I had people to tell me, well, I'd say, well, when you get up, I want you to take a bath and throw the water to the east. And they say, well, which way is the east? And I say, well, it's where the sunrise. And they go, what do you mean, the sunrise? And I'm like, oh, man, we got to start from basics here.
Uh-huh. Breast tests and foundations, yep.
Yeah,
it really comes down to being in touch with nature, because ultimately, hoodoo, often people talk about it being a folk magic, but more than anything else, it's natural magic. It's magic that works with earth, with the power of the earth, with herbs, with roots, with minerals, with even animals. You know, there's animal curios that are involved in conjure. And I was talking in the chat room that when I was growing up and I heard hoodoo is a term that I'm relatively new to. We always called it conjure, working roots. But one of the things that the older folk always called it was calling power down. And what they often talked about was using the power of the earth, so something like a John the Conqueror, and then calling down power from spirit to wake up that root. That combination where earth, spirit touch is where the power of root work really lies. And it also is what makes root work so effective, because it's bringing in power from multiple sources, power from the earth itself and then power directly from spirit. And that's that supplication that you were talking about, Kat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, something else that I have to say, too, is that you don't know a plant really until you've seen it and touched it. There are some plants I will never see grow in wild. I will never see Cascara sagrada grow in wild. But even so, it's sometimes good to get them not in powder form and get them in loose, you know, form to look at them, you know, and you know, go into a conjure shop and see, look at their bulk herbs and see what you see. You'll learn something. Don't just be buying them all cut and sifted.
But you can usually tell. Some of the older people who are, you know, familiar with this tradition, they'll drive miles to get their hands on, for example, like a John the Conqueror or their Queen Elizabeth, picking it out by hand. So even if they're not going out in nature, you can still see that connection in nature where, and Kat, you talk about this too, where you'll have men drive out from wherever just to come to your shop and go through your John the Conquerors or the lodestones by hand and going, no, this is the one I want. And that's that connection to nature, you know, working, knowing where east is, right? Knowing where east is, that's being connected to nature.
Yeah. Well, we have a little comment here in the chat room. Firehorse67 says, plants don't like me. And my only response is that root work probably is not your path, you know, because you don't have to be a gardener, but if plants don't like you, and there are, you know, there are people that dogs don't like, and there's people that plants don't like, and there's people that horses don't like. If you don't have an established relationship with the spirits of plants or roots, it would be very difficult for you to do root work. You know, people talk about which word that they use growing up. Was it hoodoo? I grew up, people from Mississippi, and people from northern Louisiana, they all said hoodoo. People from North Carolina, they didn't like to use that sort of word, and they would say helping yourself. You know, people from another part of the East Coast would say conjure. People would say witchcraft, but they were from Virginia, some of them. But I don't care what you call it. Root work, throwing roots, using that stuff, whatever, helping yourself, it all pretty much does involve something of nature. And if nature is not your path, if you would rather be doing chaos magic with sigils, then you ought to be doing that, okay?
Right. It's a form of natural magic, and if you don't have that connection to nature and herbs and roots, and again, it doesn't mean you have to be a botanist. It doesn't mean you have to be going out there and planting plants all the time, but it does mean you have to have a connection with herbs, roots, and minerals. You have to be able to resonate with them. You have to be able to feel their spirit, feel that spiritual quality to them, and work with them on that level. Root workers often are also herbalists. They will make herbal teas. They will make tonics. So if you don't have, even if you don't have, we'll say a green thumb, if you don't have that ability to work with natural products, with herbs, making herbal mixtures, working with herbs and roots, then, you know, root work may not be, you're right, may not be the path for you, because root work is much more than candles and oils. It is a form of natural magic that involves going back to nature and calling up the power of the spirit-embodied, you know, herbs, roots, minerals, and curios.
It's also worth noting that it's not just about growing all of these things.
Right.
In many cases in the tradition, many of these plants are not easily cultivated by humans. So you actually have to go out into the woods, into, you know, the place where these plants grow and harvest them, wildcraft them there. So I would say it's not necessarily about having a green thumb, although certainly that doesn't hurt. But you do need to be able to pay attention to the plants and be able to understand how they are working with you and how you can work with them. And in some cases that means going out, you know, into their territory and, you know, making yourself a little bit humble and, you know, being receptive to learning from them.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is not always what folks are used to doing. They may be more comfortable with books or with people, but plants can teach you just as much, if not more, than those sources can. But
they
do it in their own way.
Absolutely.
And at their own pace and at their own level.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this goes back to the very source of where does all this come from? You know, as an academic, we often discuss, where does this knowledge come from? Well, a lot of people will teach you that in shamanic paths and things like root work, the plants themselves teach you. You know, and it can be, you know, the doctrine of signatures, or it can be this really deep spiritual connection. I know that this plant does this. You know, both of these, this is how knowledge is developed, and this is how root work developed. Years of experimentation, knowledge passed down from elder to elder, and also learning directly from the plants themselves. What does this plant do? What is it capable of? What is the spiritual quality of it? And the plants themselves go from just being ingredients to being spirit helpers, you know, spiritual allies.
Yeah, well, that's really important, really important. Well, we better start taking some calls here. I could talk about this all day, and I have to say I was very inspired by what you said, Lukianos. And I would tell anybody, take some time off to look at nature. Look at the sun, the moon, the stars, look at the earth, look at the plants, look at the roots if you're going to be a root worker. But let's go on, and we're going to take some calls, we're going to do some readings, and we're going to give some root work advice to people. Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali, and this week's special guest, Lukianos, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, specifically read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. Our first client is calling in from area code 561 from West Palm Beach, Florida. This is Spiritual Life. Spiritual Life, are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay, great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation for our host, and he writes, 5 years ago, me and one of my relatives were shot. The perpetrators were two brothers. They were arrested and went to trial, but a few months ago, they were found not guilty. The reason they were found not guilty was because their mother used Ovea to confuse the jury. The brothers got no time and were supposed to get deported. The mother used to be again to stop their deportation. I want to know a spell on how to get them deported or get them killed because of this horrible act. They've killed my close relative, and my family never received any justice because of their mother. We know that this lady and what she was capable of. We hired a root worker that was patient, paid him thousands, but he failed and ripped us off. I was naive in thinking that just because the prosecution had lots of evidence that this case was going to result in them being guilty. I don't know this lady's name, but I know all of her son's names and even down the handwritten letter that one of her sons wrote personally. Turning it back over to you.
Okay. Wow. So
yeah, wow.
What we're going to do here, you know, I could start with a reading, but let's just not do a reading, and I'll tell you why, because this is a complicated case, and we're going to get right to the work. Is that all right with you, Spiritual Life?
It's all right, whatever you guys feel is best.
Yeah. Well, I don't need to do a reading because your question is very direct. What can I do rather than what's going on? You know what's going on. For those listeners who don't know what Obeah is, that is Jamaican, Jamaican root work is what it is. It's very common in Jamaica. It is more similar to hoodoo and conjure in the U.S. than just about anything, because it comes from Congo African magic practices as practiced by people who were forcibly removed from Africa and put into a British-run society, much like in the USA, run by British Protestants. There are some differences. It doesn't have as much Native American stuff because they're in Jamaica. They're not in the U.S., but it does have a lot of interesting Hindu things sometimes thrown in it. Very powerful work. It is so similar to hoodoo, we might as well call them brother and sister magical practices. All right, so that's
one
what he's referring
that
to.
Has to be, the one difference that has to be emphasized is Obeah, unlike hoodoo, is often an initiatory system. It is taught from one Obeah man to another or an Obeah woman to another, and it also mm-hmm. involves a specific spirit, which hoodoo doesn't have. Hoodoo works with much more of a Christian spiritual background. In Obeah, they work with a figure. I'm actually familiar with Obeah and am involved with Obeah. Obeah works with the power of Papa Bones, okay? So Papa Bones is the lord of the cemetery, and his power is infused into the Obeah man, thus allowing him to work the root work-like system that the Jamaicans have. All right, there we go.
But many of the spells will be almost identical. There will be things, you know, they're really identical spells, and anyone can translate one into the other. Right. All right. So here's the thing. You went to a Haitian, and I'm not going to talk about the got ripped off part, but that's kind of an interesting thing. What is your cultural background?
Oh, Jamaican.
You're Jamaican.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So you went to a Haitian to do this work rather than to another Jamaican.
He was referred to us by another Jamaican lady that we knew, because he said that he had did some work for her. That's why.
I see. Mm-hmm. I understand. All right. Well, we're just going to have to leave him out of it. He ripped you off. There's ripoffs in every culture. There's ripoffs in the Catholic Church. There's ripoffs in hoodoo. There's ripoffs in Haitian voodoo. We all know that. So what I'm seeing here is you've gotten involved with, it's this woman who is sort of controlling the situation, the mother, right? I have had many times these situations where a mother is controlling her sons, who literally are criminals, and she is getting them off. She's getting them off over and over and over again. So the first thing you want to focus on is not so much them directly, but to try to weaken her power. Okay.
Yes.
That's the first thing you have to think about. Now, to weaken a mother's power, you're going to have to think about doing female-type magic, because women's weakness is in their female nature. And so the worst thing for her is going to be watch her sons get killed. Deported ain't the worst of it. Getting killed is the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but she's put her lifeblood on the line. She's put herself around them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
She has them protected. So you're going to have to, if you were to do death work on them, you need to start weakening her. And the way you're going to weaken her is through her female organs and her blood. And I don't know how deep we want to get into this on the radio, but this is a death spell. So I'm going to turn it over. I've said my piece. I'm going to turn this over to Ali and Lukianos. You take it as deep as you want to go, guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will let Lukianos go first.
Well, with any of these, you have a greater chance of impact the more that you are able to get close to her. And what I mean by that, you're telling me that you don't even know her name. You need to get her name. Yeah. You need to find some way of getting a piece of her. You know, the very best thing would be, you know, used clothing that hasn't been laundered. But failing that, get whatever you can get on her. Because if you're looking to weaken her, you have a better chance of doing that if you have a solid link to her. Beyond that, you're appealing to the spirit of justice, of course, and that is a very powerful thing as well. But mm-hmm. in this case, you want to get as much of a piece of her as well as the sons as you can. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it would be kind of impossible for me to get any link to her, but I have a handwritten letter that was written by one of her sons.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. You could break that protection off of him, but she'll rebuild it. Let me ask you, why is it impossible? Is she in Jamaica now?
Right now, I have no idea. She goes back and forth, because right now I'm in Florida and she's in New York.
All right. You got to get her name, baby. You got to get her name.
I guarantee you, somebody knows somebody who knows her. That's
yeah.
the way it works.
Yeah.
Nobody is an island, and no one who is doing that much to protect her sons, she's not that isolated if she's put that much of herself on the line. Somebody knows who these guys' mama is. You just need to find that person.
You know, here's the thing, sweetheart. People don't die easily. They don't give up mm-hmm. life easily.
Yeah.
And if you want to take out a powerful person, this woman is serious business, and if you want to take out a powerful person, just throwing stuff in the air like the Haitian man did, that ain't going to work. You need physical contact, and you need something more than even her name. I'm going to tell you, if you want to take someone to the graveyard, you have to have something of them to take to the graveyard.
Well,
yeah,
if you're taking on someone who is as skilled as this woman is, and she is skilled, as I'm sensing, and picking up on the situation, she is skilled. If you're going to take on someone who is skilled, you need to have a direct link. The average root worker, not even the most skilled root worker, will have some form of defense. So if someone, for example, were to take a root worker's photo and start burning candles on, more than likely it won't work. They need even stronger of a link because you're trying to break through barriers and protections. Mm-hmm. You need to have something on this woman. My recommendation, now I'm not going to really talk about death conjurers on the air, okay? But what I will teach you is a trick that is used in Obeya. It's very similar to a hoodoo trick, but slightly different. There is a slight alter, and again, it works with Papa Bones. What you need to do is you need to take all three of them and get effigies of them, okay? So doll babies. You get doll babies and you baptize them. And this is why you need to know this woman's name at the very least, okay?
Yes.
You baptize it in their name. And you put it in a mirror box, okay? And you wrap that mirror box in chains and you lock it. And you say that they are now bound. You take this into a cemetery with one white candle, a bottle of rum, and 9 pennies, okay? These 9 pennies, you take the candle and the rum and you leave it in what's known as the central cross. Old graveyards generally have a cross that's in the middle. If there you don't go in an old graveyard, it'll be the largest grave that has a cross on it, okay? It's considered the same thing. You go there, you offer the rum, 3 pennies, and the white candle for Papa Bones. You go, Papa Bones, you gave this woman power. I'm asking you to remove your power. Because Obeya you have to be infused first with the power of Papa Bones, okay? So you light that candle, you leave the 3 pennies and the rum, and then you bury the box in the grave, and you ask the spirit, hold this woman down, take these people down with you, remove them from my life. Now, I'm not going to tell you that this is going to kill them, but it will at the very least blunt her power, bind her up, and keep her from protecting her children the way that she is. You leave an offering of the rest of the pennies, and you walk away without looking back, okay? So it's a mirror box working with a slight difference in that you're invoking Papa Bones to intervene in this case because this is his realm, Obeya, okay? But again, like Kat said, you really need a strong link to this person. Root work, Obeya, any type of magical practitioner who is, you know, worth their salt will have protection. And if you don't have a direct link to them, you're not gonna have any handhold over working on them, okay? So at the very least, her name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm going to say something else about getting her name. Miss Michael in the chat room, who's a very accomplished root worker herself, said pray for the opening of the way to get her name. And I don't mean just pray and say, let her name appear to me. I mean pray while you're doing all the work that you need to do to get her name. Court papers may have her name. Pay for for some, you know, time on Ancestry.com, whatever it takes, get her name. The thing is, people don't give up life. They just don't give up life without being severed from it. Now, one of the things I'm sensing, and this is just strictly from spirit, this is not a card divination, this woman, her weakness is her womb. And you might be able to, once you get her name, you're going to be able to give her some problems. And it could be with her blood, it could be with her womb, it could be with her circulatory system, but you're going to be able to do that. I would start with a fig. You know what a fresh fig?
Yes.
Fig represents the uterus, right? And I'm going to say this on the radio just as gentle as I can. I would name knives and baptize knives, small knives, in the names of her sons, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I would stab them into the fig from the bottom, open end up. And I'd say, as you gave them birth, so that will they rip you apart. Because if she feels pain given to her by her son, she'll stop protecting them.
Okay,
and
so
I'm
going to have to baptize the fig as her too, right?
Baptize the fig as her, but you got to have her name.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? We got to get her name. You baptize her as the fig, and then you take those little knives. Just get a little set of paring knives, and you name them for all of her. Your children are your undoing. Your children are your death. If you do it right, and I'm not going to promise anything, but if you do it right, she may end up dead at their hands. I'm just hoping that, you know, that's one way to look at it, that it could be done. When you've done that, and I'm sorry, that all sounds really rotten and bad. I'm just telling you a spell that I know. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm not telling you I've done it. I'm just telling you a spell I know.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know, you're going to take all of that, and you're going to take it to a graveyard. Same kind of thing. All right. I would just
even with the knives in it, right?
Even with the knives in it. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
With the knives in it, we've been.
And you can get those little knives that'll be perfect for a fig. They're small. And they work excellent for something like this.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Now, Lukianus, what do you say? Do you have any? I know you don't want to. We don't want to get into this too deep, but.
Well, like I said, if you can get a personal concern of hers, you know, it could be something like a piece of clothing. You know, if you can't even get her name, it's unlikely you're going to get hair or fingernails. But if you can, then you can work with that. And you can do things like take some of that and, you know, take a plug out of a sweet gum tree and then hammer and pound the plug in. You can do a simple sinking bottle spell where you put that personal concern of theirs in there and say, well, take it down to the river to flow out to sea and say that as this bottle sinks, so does your life. But in this case, I agree with Ms. Cat in that because this woman has bound herself so tightly to her sons, and her sons are up to no good, she has opened herself to harm either at their hands or as a consequence of their actions. She may be a not-so-innocent bystander, she may be the target. But that is an angle that you should consider, and that is an angle that can be worked for justice.
Also bear in mind, that
her actions and these things that she has nurtured with her own life even, that they come back to her. That those things that she has nurtured in her life, that she bear the full brunt and fruit of that. It is just.
Yeah.
Right. I once had a letter that she written, but I had gave it to that root worker, and I guess he never did nothing with it.
Well, you contact that root worker and you get that letter back. Seriously.
Yeah.
You needed some type of
link. And if you do, cut a piece of that out, put it inside that.
Point.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Put it inside that fig. I'm going to tell you something else, seriously. My sense of this is dark, dark, dark. And what comes to mind is this old movie that has the title Ma Barker's Brood. This woman has... turned these boys toward evil to help support her financially. Okay, just saying. Dawn, by the way.
And just one last word of advice, really, is you know, don't spend the rest of your life on this. As terrible as your situation is and as unjust as things have been, you know, you've been trying for a while is the sense that I get. You've already hired a root worker who failed and spent thousands, you said. You know, you cannot be spending the rest of your life trying to go after justice because now you're doing an injustice to yourself. There are some battles that we lose. There are some battles that we are not successful in, and this may be yours. It's all I'm saying, okay? You don't have a very strong link to this woman. You've been given excellent advice on this radio show. You might consider hiring another professional to assist you in addition to the work you do. Try to get that letter back. But if you are unable to get this woman's name, unable to get that letter back, I would take that as a sign that this woman may be too protected for you. And it's time to move on and get on with your life. If you keep, you know, getting stuck on this travesty, it's going to haunt you the rest of your life.
That's right.
Yeah, it's true.
And as far as getting back at them, you will not. My sense of it is, and this is my intuitive reading on it, you won't be able to harm them until she's out of the picture.
Until she's out of the picture, right?
Until she's out of the picture. They believe that they're little golden boys but they don't know how Mama is working for them. Okay. All right, we need to move on, but you know, this is a place that where Ollie's advice is very good too. It may be good to just lay this thing down and walk on. You need to meditate on that. You need to pray on that. Is the fact that you could not get her name and all these things, you might devote a certain amount of time to it and say, if I don't have a clear way open by New Year's, I'm going to lay this thing down until it falls into my lap later, but I'm going to walk on in my life in some other way. All right?
Thank you.
That's important.
Thanks a lot.
That's important for you spiritually. You took the name Spiritual Life, and that says to me that you do have a good heart and you do have good intentions. You didn't call yourself Revenge Boy, you know? You called yourself Spiritual Life when you called us. So that says to me that even as David was treated unjustly by King Saul, still, he did triumph, and he did achieve his kingship. So keep the faith, all right?
Yes, sure will. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. All right. Good luck to you, baby. All right.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Peace be with
you. All right, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And just a reminder to everyone, we have about 48 minutes left in today's show, and the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is brought to you each week by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. Lucky Mojo manufactures and distributes all the paraphernalia of hoodoo and conjure, including anointing oil, sachet powders and incense, crystal salts for spiritual baths and floor wash, herbs, resins, waters, and colognes, roots, zoological and mineral curios, books, candles, and religious goods, folklore amulets, talismans, and charms. Drop by if you're in the area or find us online at luckymojo.com. Now it's time to return to the callers who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum. And our next caller is calling in from the state of Texas, Houston, Texas. This is Barry from area code 832. Barry, are you there, caller?
Yes, hi.
Hi, great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation for our host. And she writes, looking to turn a friend into a boyfriend or husband, in parentheses, and get a full-time job. Turning it back over to you.
Well, wait a minute. Barry, you got two things going on here. Turn the friend into a boyfriend or husband and get a full-time job. Let's just handle one of them. This is only a little radio show. We only got time for one of you. Which one would you like? Which one do you want, the job or the boyfriend?
The boyfriend slash husband.
Boyfriend, all right. Boyfriend always trumps the job. I know you. Okay, sweetheart. What sign of the zodiac are you?
Aquarius.
Aquarius, all right. And about how old are you?
I'm 36.
36 years old. And the boyfriend, what sign of the zodiac?
Oh, goodness. August the 30th.
August 30th. Well, let's see. Would that be a Virgo? Is that correct? Am I doing my math right? I'm not sure. I think so. No, wait a minute. August 30th. Yeah, August 30th is Virgo. That's right. Somebody's going to correct me. Yeah, Professor Ames said, yep, it's Virgo. Good.
Yep.
I'm bad at math. All right. It's Virgo. All right, and you're an Aquarius. All right. And this person, I'm going to ask one more question, then we're going to start the reading. This person have any reason to hold back? In other words, are they single? Are they married? Are they just a friend? What's the story?
Oh, he's unattached. He's a bit of a playboy type.
All right. Well, that's all we need to know. All righty. Okay. Well, let's start with Ollie. What you got to say about this?
Certainly. Barry, if I could ask one last question. How long have you known this person for?
Oh, I'm sorry. I gave you his wrong birthday. Yeah, he's May 30th. Yeah, I've known him for
May
30th.
Whoa. Back up. That's a Gemini.
Yes.
Very different story. When you said Playboy, I'm going, Virgo? Playboy?
Yes, I was about to say the exact same thing. But when she said May 30th, the second she said May 30th,
bingo.
I'm like, okay, Playboy makes sense.
Okay. No offense to our Gemini friends.
No, we love you, Geminis. It's okay.
We, no offense to our Gemini friends, but our Gemini friends do know how to play. Okay?
Yeah.
All righty.
And how long have you known our Playboy Gemini here?
2 or 3 years.
2 or 3 years, so it's a good friendship. Okay, what I have done is I have pulled 3 cards, okay? And I'm going to go over these cards. The first card that I have is the Chariot card. The Chariot card shows a conquering hero, and he's sitting in a chariot which has a canopy of stars above him, and he himself is also wearing a diadem of stars. Before him is a black sphinx and a white sphinx. But there is no harness, there are no reins. This is the card of potential and possibility. However, more often than not, when it comes to a relationship, it talks about sexual potential. What I sense here is that the Gemini, our Gemini friend here, you have potential for a physical relationship with him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Potential to get involved with him. To lead to commitment is a whole other story, though. That requires you to have harnesses to get that sphinx to move, you know, to move the chariot forward, okay? So this indicates that without any type of magical work or root work or any type of intervention, so to speak, that it is unlikely that the two of you will naturally fall into a committed relationship. You two may have a fling. You two may very well have an affair. You may even have a friends with benefits situation, but the chances of him committing and settling down, not likely. And the next card that we have kind of talks about where you can take this situation, and that is the Hierophant card. The Hierophant shows us a papal figure, and he's up on a dais, and he's got a triple crown on his head, and he has a triple cross in his hands. He's raising his hand in benediction, and before him are two young acolytes. One acolyte is wearing roses, and the other is wearing lilies. And this is the decision between what you desire and what is good, the decision between passion and something more pure and innocent. So what's going to happen is that with root work, with some type of magical intervention, you can get this guy to at least consider the options. However, being the playboy that he is, he's going to have a hard time at it. It's going to be hard for him to give up that lifestyle. That lifestyle of getting whatever he wants, of having his cake and eating it too, enjoying the affections and attentions of women while also remaining, you know, in their good graces. And also not being committed. It's love without obligation, as I call it. Short-term love, but nevertheless a form of love. So the Hierophant card tells us that you can get into the point where he can at least consider it. However, know that you are in a bit of an uphill battle. You're trying to change this man's nature. You're trying to get him to go from a playboy to being your boy, okay? The next card is, you know, the what your outcome is going to be, and that is the Page of Swords. The Page of Swords shows us a young boy or a woman standing on a hill with a sword in hand and the wind is blowing and he's looking back. It's going to be hard to get this guy to turn away from his current life. Okay, this page is still looking back. One foot is being dragged behind. So there's something holding him back. You can do magical work. You can get him to at least entertain the possibility of it, entertain the idea of being with you. But his lifestyle is always going to have an influence on him. It is always going to be a bit of a drag on him. And it's always going to be something that you will be battling with. This is one of those situations where I honestly say that if you do successfully draw this man into a relationship, you will more than likely have to do a little bit of binding work or a little bit of stay with me work or tying his nature, because this is a man who may very well wander, okay? Or flirt with the idea of wandering. These three cards tell us that, yes, you do have a chance, but that this is one of those chances that, you know, is going to come with some underlying conditions, which is, you know, his nature is one to wander, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to do a real quick reading on this, too, just a little bit, and I'm just going to, because we're running a little short here, and I'd like to give you some advice. Card I got off of this, and I could have done just a brief astrology reading, but I'm just going to throw down one card, and it is the Nine of Pentacles. There's a woman in a garden. She has grapes behind her. She has money at her feet. She has a snail at her feet and a hawk in her hand. Not a great card for taming a man, but a great card for knowing that you're in control and can choose who you want. If it's not going to be him, it will be someone else. You are a woman who wants to be somewhat in control of the situation. I don't mean like, you know, a dominatrix or anything, but you're a woman who doesn't want to put up with a bunch of BS, right?
Yeah.
And you're an Aquarius, as you said, right? Was that correct? And,
yes.
And that's a fixed sign. You want a person who's going to have a commitment as strong as you do, someone who really will, I mean, whatever it's going to be. And again, I'm not going to, I don't take sides and I don't judge. If you said I'm an Aquarius and I'm polyamorous, then you're going to want a polyamorous man. If you're an Aquarius and say I want monogamy, you're going to want a monogamous man. But what an Aquarius wants, they're going to want their partner to rise to that and meet them equally. So this guy is not the best choice, let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't try working on him, but Geminis do have a short attention span. So, Lukianos, tell us what to do.
Okay. Well, first of all, Barry, you need to be really clear with yourself what it is that you want out of this relationship and what it is that you're willing to put up with and what things are absolute deal breakers. And then you need to take as much of an unjaundiced eye as you can to this man and ask yourself if he matches what you need and whether he has any characteristics that are deal breakers. Because, again, you might do work on him to change his nature, but that doesn't mean that he would be all the best for wear after you did that.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a much better spot if you're able to do something that is in keeping with his nature, assuming, of course, that aspects of his nature are not absolute deal breakers for you. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Okay. That said, now, going back to the reading that Conjure Man Ali did with the Chariot. So, as Conjure Man Ali noted, with the guy who is apt to wander, and I should also ask, how old is this fellow?
He is 33.
Mm.
Okay, so he's past the Saturn return. He is of an age where you are more likely to have success binding him as opposed to if he were in his early 20s and, you know, is still sowing his wild oats. He may still be sowing his wild oats right now, but I think you have a better chance of working on him where he is now than you would have, say, 5 to 10 years ago. Mm. That said, how much access do you have to him? Are you currently involved with him? Are you in a position where you can, say, start feeding him things? Can you get, you know, hair or other personal concerns of his? How much physical access do you have to him?
I go to his place of work, and he's come to mine.
Okay. And are you in a position to get any of his personal concerns? Are you in a position to offer him a cup of coffee that you've put some menstrual blood into, that sort of thing? Are you in a position to give him something that you've dressed with
yes,
a skincare condition product?
Yes,
okay.
I was thinking of doing the letter thing.
Mm-hmm. Because, again, with love work, and this doesn't matter whether the person is attached or unattached, the more contact you can get with him, the better a chance you have of tying him. And that's just how it works. So physical proximity with increasing, you know, physical intimacy and getting to a point where you have his personal concerns and can work them, where you can put them in a nation sack, where you can be feeding him, you know, menstrual blood or similar personal fluids, where you are in a position where you can be dusting, you know, the insides of his shoes with an appropriate spiritual condition powder. All of these things are key to the type of work that you would need to be doing if you're looking to actually draw this person into a committed relationship. This is not to say that his eye isn't going to wander or that he might not stray, but if you're looking to create an actual connection, you know, and a tie to you, these are the things that you need to be thinking about. Does that make sense to you?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. I would also recommend, can I make a recommendation here? You want to turn this friend into a boyfriend. You've never had sex with him yet, right?
No, because I will not while he's, you know, being with other women. I have
all right.
Standards.
Well, that's the problem. So you may have picked the wrong puppy here. You may have just picked the wrong puppy.
You may have Sanders Caller, but I'm not sure that he does.
That's right. I'm feeling this guy may be the wrong guy. We may next time hear a call from you where you're going to talk about a full-time job instead.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a way, mm-hmm. wanting a full-time job and wanting a full-time boyfriend, they're similar, and that goes with you being an Aquarius, honey. You do want to, this guy may be just too rough timber for you to work on. But, I mean, what Luciano said, try it. You know, try a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But trying to make a Gemini be faithful to you straight out of the box, that's not going to be easy. Not particularly
well,
this man.
He's been hinting around at settling down and even children. I think it's because of his age. I think he's just reached an age finally where...
You won't have sex with him until he stops seeing other women. He's not going to choose you until he's tasted the fruits. You know what I'm saying? This is a man. I'm just telling you, honey. He wants a sample before he's ready. I'm just telling you about him. That's
right.
What I know about him.
And caller, you need to be in a position where he is able to choose you despite all of these other things that he has around him. And again, I'm not saying that you should compromise your standards, but you have to be honest with yourself. If those are your standards, this might not be the right guy for you.
Yeah.
I mean,
you would have to be a person who is comfortable, you know, sort of stepping out into that physical arena with him and not feel like you're somehow compromising your standards. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
As of right now, he's more than willing to have a physical relationship with you and have sex with you, but you don't want to have sex with him until he's your boyfriend. That is not going to happen. But if you're interested in having a affair or a short-term boyfriend or a boyfriend that is, you know, you may not be, a boyfriend who is more of a physical nature first, then, you know, you can work the situation. Just know that he's going to first be interested in a physical relationship, okay?
Yeah.
He's not looking for commitment, no matter what he's hinting at, until much later. Once you and him develop something, you guys are having sex regularly, that's when he'll go. That's how he is thinking right now. He's going first the sex. And then, okay, we'll think about the emotional bit. All right, maybe it's about the age that I should settle down. And even then, this is a guy who will have a wandering eye, is what my reading shows. So if you're not willing to follow that particular path, if that's not the path you want your relationship to take, then this guy might not be for you. Remember, people approach relationships differently, and we talk about on the radio show. Even two Tauruses like me and Kat, we're both Tauruses, but both her and I have slightly different approaches to relationships. You know, if you the relationship approach does not match up, you're going to have a really hard time.
Yeah. And I'm just going to give you a couple of pieces of notes from the chat room, and then we're going to move on. Aura says, doesn't matter. He is what he is. Ms. Aura, that was wise. That is totally wise. And I agree with her. He is what he is. And Aida Severini said, maybe her spirits are telling her that he might be carrying something if he messes around.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to say, I'm just saying, and I don't mean necessarily carrying a sexually transmitted disease, but carrying some spiritual something. So maybe what's kept you away from this is all to the better. So that's it. We're out of time, honey, but I wish you well. Call us next time about the job, and we'll see if we can get you in, okay?
Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right. Good luck to you, baby. All right. Bye-bye. All right. Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And a reminder to everyone listening that support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is a return guest caller to the show. This is Psychic Mimi calling in from area code 610 from Trenton, New Jersey. Psychic Mimi, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Great. Welcome back to the show. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation for our host, and she writes, I'm doing readings from home and over a psychic line. I'm having trouble generating income. I worked on one of these lines many years ago and had some success, so I'm a little confused as to why this is not working out for me. I'm wondering if I have some sort of blockage in this area or what I could do to improve my chances of success. Turning it back over to you.
Hi, Psychic Mimi. Well, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. You said you had worked on these psychic lines. These are the telephone lines where people do reading for people with some success in the past, many years ago. May I ask how many years or what years was it?
It was maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
6 years. Oh, that's not many years. Okay, when you say many years, I was thinking the 90s. Okay, so six years ago, 2000.
Yes, many.
All right. That's a few years in our language around here. All right. I'm going to give you some advice first. I'm not going to, before we, I know that that I would love to have Lukianus read for you, but I'm going to give you some advice first, which is you need to be up to date because things change and things have changed. And I would like you to get a hold of a book, and it is called The Fortune Teller's Guide to Success by Valentina Burton. Have you ever heard of that book?
No.
Okay, write it down. The Fortune Teller's Guide to Success by Valentina Burton.
Okay.
You can buy it from Lulu. You can buy it from Lucky Mojo. You need that book. All right. You need that book. Let's turn it over to Lukianus and say what he has to say.
Okay, Psychic Mimi. So as your case was being described and as you were talking with Miss Kat, I threw a couple of preliminary questions over to Obi and basically trying to figure out where some of the blockages might be coming from. And I got a no to the question, is someone, you know, doing work against you? Rather, the shells are suggesting to me that this is something where you may need to do some work with your ancestors. Now, you mentioned that you had done this work about 6 or 7 years ago. Why did you stop?
I happened to get a job with the state that paid me a significant amount,
mm-hmm.
so I left because I was making
mm-hmm.
more, but
mm-hmm.
I lost that job.
Okay. Okay, and I should also ask, are you coming back to doing psychic readings because it's work that you want to be doing, or are you coming back to it because it's a fallback and would rather be doing something else?
No, I enjoyed it, and
mm-hmm.
I want to do something that I like, so
mm-hmm.
I came back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Well, the first thing that I would recommend for you is to check in with your ancestors. Do you do any ancestor work as just a general type of thing?
No.
Okay. You may want to start. And I'm talking, you know, just start out pretty simple. You know, a white candle and a glass of water in a space that is, you know, clean and maintained. What type of religious background would you say your ancestors had?
I have no idea. I have a very small family and we're estranged, so I have no idea what they were involved in.
Okay. Well, in that case, stick with a light candle and a glass of water and see where it goes from there. The sense that I get is that, I mean, certainly starting back, you know, after a gap in years, and Miss Kat is right, things do change. Sometimes it is slow to get going, and you know that in some cases, I mean, you've done this work before, but there are going to be some things about it, depending on how you're working, where you're working, where it may sort of be like you're wearing the ropes all over again. But towards that, get your ancestors on your side. And right now, I'm not getting a sense that it is necessarily living members of your family, per se, although it doesn't hurt to be, you know, connected with them as well. But do some general ancestor work and really try to connect that energy and that support to supporting you going forward in your career. Does that make sense to you?
I don't know any.
I only know
one relative that passed away. I don't know anybody else, and I don't know if that particular one is a good one.
Let's back up
for just a minute here. Where we're getting a lot of no, no, and no. So you quit this job because you found a job that had better money, but then you lost that job. And you kind of like this job. It's okay, but you have no connection to spirit, no connection to your ancestors. When you're asked about could you light a white candle, no. We're talking about ancestors all the way back to the apes, okay, baby? Certainly, somewhere in your lineage, there is somebody who had the gift for reading. There is somebody who wants to help and who someone wants to unblock your money and bring you success. Don't be talking to me about your Aunt Nellie who never approved of your lifestyle. I want to know that you contacted the spirit world, because you can't be a spirit reader if you don't have contact to the spirit world. I think the blockage is in you. Okay, I'm going to be real cold here. The blockage is in you. You've taken this as it's a job. It's the psychic lines. I would never go on a radio show where there were clients and say, I've worked the psychic lines. What a self-throat-cutting move is that? I would say I have been a psychic reader, and I have worked for some of the companies that run telephone lines. I might say I have read cards on the phone, but I've worked the lines. That's like saying I'm an old street-walking whore. It's not good. It's not good. This is not that kind of a job, baby. And I don't know which lines you work for. I do work for a psychic line. I work for Hoodoo Psychics. It's what we call a co-op line. A co-op line is where the people who are the readers own the company. In other words, we don't work for a company. We work for ourselves, and we all share in the upkeep, the payments to make the upkeep of the site, you know, and the phone line, but we all get our own money from making our own readings. It's just like a regular dairyman's co-op, only it's a psychic reader's co-op. There are other ones that are run differently, that are run top-down, that are big corporations. But I'm telling you, the blockage is in you. I'm just going to stop right there. End of story. But I'm going to tell you, you need to do some cleansing on yourself and on your intention and on your spirituality. And I don't want to hear, no, 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 I don't contact my ancestors because they might not like me. Hey, you're the only life they have. They better like you. Okay?
I guarantee you there's someone in your mind, but whether you know their name or not, who is going to stand up and support you because you're one of theirs.
Absolutely,
and it might not be who you expect either. And like I said,
that was my whole
know,
question. I didn't know if I had to know somebody because I don't know anybody. That's the only reason why I was
Even if you don't know their names, you still know their relationship to you. Why? Because everyone has a great grandmother. Everyone has a great grandfather. Hell, they have two great grandfathers and two great grandmothers. Guaranteed, everybody.
Now here's a question, Psychic Mimi. You say, for example, your name is Psychic Mimi, and you work as a psychic reader. But you go, I don't know any of my ancestors. Okay, so how do you connect to spirit? How do you do your psychic thing? You know, you go, do I need to know their name? Well, can you not call out to spirit? Can you not call out to ancestors unknown? Can you not call out to my line? I mean, as a psychic, these are certain things that you should instinctively have a connection to, right? And if you don't have that, that's something that's, one, going to be crippling you on a spiritual level. I mean, as a reader, you should, if you are unable to do this for yourself, you may have a very hard time doing this for your clients. And second of all, I agree with Kat 100% that this block rests with you on two separate things. One, It's a spiritual block that you've put on yourself. You're limiting yourself on a great deal, different levels, and it's even subconscious. I mean, working the lines is not a great way to put it. It's more than just a business. And then the second aspect is the practical aspect of things. You go, well, I've been on this line, but I'm not getting the success at all. Well, what have you been doing? Have you handing out your business cards? Are you telling people that you're there? Where is your clientele? Did you remain in touch with any of your clients from 6 years ago? No, you didn't, so you have to start over. You know, these are things that you have to bear in mind, and these are considerations you have to take. You're waiting for, you know, to go live on a psychic line and suddenly have lots of callers. It's not going to happen. Who is Psychic Mimi and why should I call her is what your clients are thinking. Now answer those questions, okay? Answer those questions both for yourself. Who are you, Psychic Mimi? Why are you psychic? Are your ancestors behind you? Are you able to connect to spirit? Do you have the gift for it? If you do, then go forth. But if you don't have the gift for it, then this may not be the right profession for you. And then the second aspect, what are you doing from a business standpoint in order to support yourself? Are you promoting your business? Are you handing out your cards at psychic fairs? Are you letting your friends and family know, hey, I'm on this line. If you're ever interested in having a reading, go ahead and call in. Are you posting your flyer up at the local New Age store, or metaphysical store? What are you doing in order to put your name out there? And what do you have to offer your clients? These are things you need to answer both for yourself and put into practice.
Having been pretty harsh, I'm going to say something. I do believe you do have some gift, and I'm not making that up either, but I think you've blocked your own gift here by dissing your own career, as it were. And what Ollie said, 100%. Business cards, you know, if you work on the lines, as they are so disrespectfully called, if you work on the lines, well, you don't want, you know, I'm going to name one, all right? I'm going to do the unthinkable. I'm going to name one. Keen. Okay? So let's say you work for Keen.com, the biggest of the lines. Well, they is that it? Is that the one you're working for?
No, it sounds so funny the way you're saying it. Now I have the whole image of the streetwalker in my head.
Well, all right. If you're working for Keen though, they don't want you to build yourself up because they want to own that name that they gave you or what name you're using there. I mean, they bind you up in ways. But you need to be able to get on, say, Facebook and say, well, hi, you know, I'm available right now on Keen. Or you need to have business cards that you have with your hours on them. You know, even the hours that you work on, if you're not just working on your own and you're not having them call your number, well, then you should have the hours that you work on that line. If you work 8 hours a day on that psychic line doing psychic readings, then make it up as a business card and hand it out to people. Okay? But then you've got to keep those hours. You know? But the thing is, here's what I've always been taught. The adept is an adept on all levels. That means you got to have the business card, you got to have the chops to do the work, you got to have the compassion to deal with the clients, you got to have the spiritual connection to deity, to angels, to whatever ancestors, whatever
ancestors.
It is, where that's, you know, ancestors, whatever it is that's fueling your flights into spirit, that has to be connected. And so, but that's the adept is an adept on all levels. And I could go into all the levels and start raving Kabbalah at you, but I won't, okay? I'll stop right there and just say the adept is an adept on all levels, and anyone who ever studied the Golden Dawn knows what I'm talking about, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, and Aida speaks up, and Aida, I love you, Aida. Big kiss to Aida. Aida spoke up in the chat room, and she said, she needs some self-confidence work, too. And, you know, that's probably true. You probably do need some self-confidence, especially after I've just ripped at you this way, and I'm sorry I was so harsh. But you know, you need to work on that sense that the job you've got as a psychic is a gift. This is a gift, and this is something that has been given to you to share with others and to use for the help and the betterment of others, and have some confidence and walk that path with dignity and grace. And you know, that's what I would say. You know, so there. That's about all I'm going to say on that one. So.
Start within. That's all. That you summarize and start within yourself.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
All righty. Good luck to you. All right. Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Katz. And I tell you what, we've got about 16 minutes
left in today's show. And a reminder to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is brought to you each and every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, with our host, Conjurman Ali, and Miss Catherine Ironwood. And our next caller is Demania, calling in from area code 647 from Toronto, Ontario. Demania, are you there, caller?
I'm here. Hello?
Hi. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome. You're doing great. I'm going to go ahead and read what you've written here. Demania has had a few short readings with Conjurman Ali in the past. And I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation for our host. And she writes, last month I met with a man who gave me a significant amount of money with the hope of seeing me again. But through my own intuition, I was later repelled by the idea. Over the past few weeks, my luck with money has taken a serious nosedive. I had it confirmed last week that this money was in fact tricked, that I was maliciously crossed up. It feels like the cleansings, candle work, and floor washing are not doing much at this point. I'm wondering what the severity of this really is and what I can do to quickly turn this around. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, usually I would be the first reader on this one, and Lukianos would be the second. But I'm going to, because you've had readings with Ali, I'm going to switch up our order, if that's okay. And Ali, since you know the case, let's have you do a little bit of further research
actually,
into this. And,
oh, he actually
I'm familiar with
to,
this particular case.
Yeah, I didn't get a reading on this case.
Okay, so this is completely fresh, right? You've just had readings
yeah.
with me on other situations in the past.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, I was
all
about
right.
to say, because
okay.
this does not sound familiar to me, and as I, you know, my memory is not ideal, I would at least recall some of it.
Okay, all right, then we'll go back to plan A, having abandoned plan B. All right, so I'm going to just do some quick confirmation that the money was tricked and see what we can do with that. If that is correct, we'll know it right away. All right. Well, I think that there was strings attached to the money for sure. And the first card I have here is a card that is called the Fool. And this says to me that you probably kind of almost knew this going into it, that there was something expected, something not so good, and that you didn't pay attention. There was some warning that you may have received. Did you have some kind of hinky feeling about this going into it?
Not necessarily. I mean, there were issues when I was trying to meet with this man, but ultimately I did end up meeting
mm-hmm.
him. And I was a little bit repelled, but I wasn't completely opposed to the idea of seeing him again. It was just later on I felt like I couldn't bring myself to do
well,
it.
Well, what I'm seeing is the Fool here shows that there was something that probably should have warned you off earlier. You didn't pay attention to it. Okay? I mean, I'm just telling you, you want to get your antennas to be a little bit more reliable, because there was probably some, you said, issues, or there was something around this thing that before it even went down could have
or
been a little
feeling.
Warning. A gut feeling, yeah, a little bit of tingling,
yeah.
spidey senses, whatever. There was something that warned you, but you didn't pay attention. Next card is the Ace of Coins. Well, there's your money. And this is the money that was handed to you. It looked pretty good, you know. And that's not a bad card. It's just, after all, it's just money. And the third card is a card that tells me that there is some problem around the money and around the situation, and it's not a good one, and you need to... I don't know what. I'd give the money back. But the card is the Three of Swords. This is a heart with three swords piercing through it under a rainy sky. And I look at that and I go, that person did not mean, just don't get involved. There's a possibility of danger, there's a possibility of sorrow, there's a possibility of loss, and there's a possibility of tears. Okay? So that's what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing so much that it was like an attempt to ruin you for life, but it was an attempt, rather than to trick the money to ruin you, it more have been a trick to make the money make you compelled to do what, you know what I'm saying? It was
yes.
like a compelling spell. But the end result is that the future, any involvement with this person will lead to sorrow. All right. How about it, Lukianos?
Okay, well, while we've been talking, I've been throwing shells of Obi. And Ms. Kat, you're dead on. Obi gave solid yeses to the question, you know, was the money tricked? Yes, it was. Was it tricked in such a way that if she did not follow through, that negative consequences would occur? Yes, it was. Can she get out of this by herself? No. Her best bet is to get a cleansing from a root worker or other practitioner, and a recommendation that the cleansing be done with fire, not with water.
Hmm.
You can give the money back, you know, on some level that might be cleaner, but just giving the money back will not be sufficient. You will need some sort of cleansing, and again, the shells are suggesting that something with fire or anything that is burned would be most appropriate in this situation.
Okay, that's a bit interesting because Debbie Spring actually did my reading and she mentioned that water would be the solution, but that hasn't helped. And
Debbie Spring is quite a talented root worker of air for people who don't know who Debbie Spring is.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Very talented.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, so let's see. What did you follow her instructions? Did you do any kind of cleansing with water?
Yes, I did. I did.
I would like it in the future. If people come to me for a reading, that they tell me who they got the reading with before and what they were told before, and don't bullshit me. Thank you. All right. That is not very satisfying to me, caller, because what you're saying is I had a reading with Ollie. Well, it wasn't about this, and now you're telling us you had a reading with Debbie Spring, and it was about this, and she told you this and the other thing. Baby, you are a devious little bitch, and that man tricked the money because he knew you were a devious little bitch. And I've had it with you, and that's it. Can you please mute the caller? I'm done. Okay, and I'm going to say something right now. I'm done, and I'm going to say something right now. I don't want people calling this show what they, you know, well, I went to this reader and I went to that reader. You know,
Kat,
Now, Gashiba, will you please mute that caller? Thank you. This is a free service. This is a free service, folks. And we have no call to be reading for people who've been from one reader to another and then don't tell us. Okay? That is just silly. Okay? Because what's that going to do? Pit us against the other reader? Oh, well, she said this and I didn't, and blah, blah, blah. I don't know, you know, what this woman's problem is, but she is coming to us with concealment, and that is never good. You know, there is a page at the AIR website called Suggestions for Clients, and I wish this gal would read it. She's not going to. She's going to hate me for the rest of her life, and I don't care. Read that page, Suggestions for Clients. Do not go to get a reading and say, well, I'm going to check this one reading against this other reading, and I'm going to do what this one person says and not this other. That's pointless. That's just pointless. It's like going to a doctor and say, well, you know, I got a pain in my side, and now I'm going to go and I'm going to tell this doctor I got a pain in my arm just to see what they say. You know, just don't do it. Don't do it.
Completely understandable. And to kind of follow up on the actual situation of what someone can do if they're in a similar situation, dealing with some type of money jinx, especially when a reader like Lukianos and Debbie say water and fire, I would combine the two elements. So if Damiana is listening, she can take this advice into consideration. What I would first do is take a bath with uncrossing products, but I would add in two extra herbs, which is alkanet and alfalfa, which is excellent for removing money jinxes. Once you do that over a period of 13 days, you gather the used bath water, throw it out at the crossroads, walk away without looking back. The second element is to take all that money, if it was in a cash form, take that money, if not, take your bank statement, and then place that on a little altar or place it underneath your feet. On top of it, place a censer or a thurible and burn uncrossing incense with alfalfa and alkanet, so that's also mixed in there. Then take a blanket, wrap it around yourself so all that smoke gets stuck underneath your little teepee that you have, building up that smoke, uncrossing both the money that's at your feet. You could also keep the money in your lap, by the way. And the smoke builds up, and you throw that blanket off of you, throw open the windows, and let the smoke go out. And that way you combine both the water recommendation of Debbie and the fire recommendation of Lukianos. Use uncrossing products mixed with alfalfa and alkanet, and that's one of the best ways, in my opinion, to get rid of some type of money trick or money jinx.
Yeah. Well, there's something else going on here, and I think it has to do with she says, well, I had some issues with this, and then I did this, and I changed my mind. Gal, you need to think what you're doing with your life, because you're flipping back and forth. See, you're like, oh, I'm going to take his money, but I'm not going to be with him. Now I'm repelled. Now the money was tricked. Well, honey, you yourself are unreliable. You know what I'm saying? You're unreliable in your own heart. And, yeah, he tricked the money. Maybe he's a tricky person. Maybe he's a lousy person. Maybe he's a goddamn psycho killer. I don't know. I don't care, but what I'm telling
you. I do sense there is some danger with this guy, not necessarily psycho.
He is a goddamn psycho killer. I'll go there. All right. There's something wrong with the man. But I'm just saying, that's just true, and we all can see that, right? I mean, did anyone disagree with that one? No, we all see that.
He's definitely out there, yeah.
Okay, he's out there. But here's the thing, honey. You got to live the life that you know of truth too. You know, just because you took the man's money, that don't make you bad, don't make you good. But if you give the money back, you know, because he tricked the money, that was one thing. And I would just cut and clear from that situation. But please do not treat your readers, and especially someone who's offering free reading root work, three people here offering free reading and root work advice, please don't try to lie to us. Old Bafana said something, and I love Old Bafana. She's a great gal, always in the chat room. She said, it's like people come into the legal office, and they do the same thing, she says. They come in, they don't tell you who they'd seen before or what the case was, and they expect you to start it from scratch. That is not good, and Old Bafana is stone truthful. That is that we cannot handle it that way. We cannot handle it that way. And I'm just telling you, Old Bafana knows it from one point of view. I know it from another point of view.
Well,
Aida
brings up a similar point with the idea of medicine, and maybe Damiana meant well, and I understand it may have been a confusion or miscommunication, but the medicine aspect of it is you need a full medical history, and that includes which doctors you've gone, what treatments they prescribed, what diagnoses they have. If you don't tell that to your reader, then there often can be some issues. What if, for example, we've prescribed a treatment that is directly contradictory to what's already going on? That can cause medical complications, so too can it cause spiritual complications. And this is also one of the reasons why we're very adamant about telling us, are you working with someone else? So in this particular instance, maybe Damiana didn't understand that, but for future reference for callers, you do want to give your quote-unquote medical history to us. I have gone to this reader, they've already prescribed this, just so we know, and we're able to take that into consideration in our diagnoses and our treatment.
Well, yeah. And in the case of the reading, I mean, part of the reason that it may have come up that water was not indicated is because you've done that already. Gee.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Gee, that's like, yeah. Thank you, Luciana. Thank you, Ali. Let's turn it over to Ms. Tammy Lee. Well, we got a few announcements to make, and let's see what she has to say.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Lucianos of Lucianos.com in Baltimore, Maryland, for being our special guest this week. And we invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Long Beach, California. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Ms. Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjureman Ali at ConjuremanAli.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the shows are available in archive via the luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee. Thank you, Lucianos, for being with us.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
It was a pleasure. A little chaotic there at the end. I hope that was all right.
We prefer to say intense. It was a great show, but definitely intense. It was a good one. Mm-hmm. I like that one, right?
All righty. Good night, all. All right, bye-bye.
Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.